We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Dude, we got... Oh, we're out of order here. Let me... I don't know. Sometimes that happens.
What are we doing?
We got a Huskers victory. We got... Is it the 12-year-olds? We got the 12-year-olds going to the championship game. All right? We got my Minnesota Twins, who won their first playoff game last week in 20 years. Life is good on the O-Line Committee. It's
life
just
is
a
good.
W factory right now.
You know, I got my Kowalski shirt on today. I got the pie coming later. Hey, the celebratory pie.
Where did you get a Kowalski's t-shirt?
Don't ask.
That's
don't
Alex's
tell, okay?
local grocery store, by the way, down the street.
Yeah.
I'm up there all the time.
He's on a first-name basis. Hi, Tom.
Sean and I were just talking the other day about the Vikings at the meat section. I was like, listen, those steaks look great. And he was like, you know what doesn't look great? I was like, here we go. Yeah.
Talk oh to my God! Justin like Jefferson's hamstring doesn't look great. What are we gonna do about that?
Oh God!
Damn it!
Terrible. By the way, didn't both you guys pick? You know what? I'll wait. Go ahead.
Just
I'll wait.
Sit
Never
there
mind.
And wait.
Never mind.
We're not I'll even. We pick at the end of the episode. Stay
Dude,
in line.
You're talking trash
talking
way too early.
Stay
week.
In line.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
You're talking no way too much trash.
We gotta get
way
ready for Orno. Okay, I'm getting excited
for Orno.
Can I scout? Can I do the special team scout? Do you guys do special teams? Do
yes,
they kick
we scouted the game last night. This team is legit. I mean, they beat our other Eden Prairie team. They are good.
I got a couple fake punt looks I think you should incorporate.
Well, you know the look punt, is right. The punt, nobody can move, right? Like, it's got to be fair. And if you were to rush the punter, come on, dude. You're going to
you
rush
every
a
punt.
Kid punting. Stop it. Stop it. So what
By
we
the
make
way.
Them do is we make them chop their feet. And then as soon as the ball's kicked, everyone runs down there. Dude, it's almost... The NFL should think about doing this. It is awesome because everyone from a dead start just starts running down there. It is so fun to watch.
Oh, you know how many punt returns? You know how many punt returns there would be if you had a dead start and you just let Tavon Austin or some psycho back there that runs a 4-2 to get a running start?
My point exactly. You should think about it, dude. It is awesome. Super heated game. Super fun. Championship Saturday. Playing a winner.
I think people thought we were joking a week or two ago when we said this. I'm going to say it in all seriousness. If you are a listener or a viewer of the O-Line Committee and you have youth football all 22 that you want us to break down on this show, we will break down youth, not high school. I'm talking like peewee football, 12-year-old. Like, we will break down your kid. I don't know what the legalities
are
there.
There's
going to
be some dad standing in the end zone.
Well, hey, to be fair, we have guys that film stuff just because there's a hard time. There's so many kids and there's so much chaos, and at times you'll be like, hey, buddy, what happened out there? Coach, I don't know. He dropped and then he came at me, and then all of a sudden 43 came at me and 92 hit me from the side, and you're like, you know what? I can't believe I even asked you that. Never mind. I'll figure it out later. But, hey, shout out to half my team, especially Musa, my left tackle, who is phenomenal. He's going to be a top left tackle. Jeremiah, get ready to sign this kid someday.
This kid's 12.
The kids tell me yesterday, they're like, Coach, you think you can talk about us? I was like, who the hell is watching the show? Like half the hands go up. I was like, no.
No,
absolutely not.
It's not terrible. Good. Super if they win the championship, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They want to come on, I think. So
no,
we might have to
that's no. We can't. No. I'm not tying myself to a show that has 12-year-olds and F-bombs in it at the same time. Nope. That's
okay,
not going
no
on the profile
please.
Picture.
No
nope. hey, look at all these 12-year-olds. What the fuck? That's not how this is going to work.
All right, boys, it's time for Who's the Mike, where we identify the biggest things on our mind around football each week. Let's start with Jay. We'll go around the room at least once. Maybe we have time to go around the room twice. But, Jay, who's the Mike for you this week?
The Mike for me this week is every team that's 1-4 and the poor, sad team that's 0-5. We have reached a critical point where you have to now start deciding, is it time to blow it all up? Is it time to start making trades? Is it time to start figuring out and building for the future? Or are you going to be those dumb idiots that sit there and go, well, we could go on a run. We could still make the playoffs. There's still this tiny path in which we can just wiggle here. And if this guy dies and we found a way to beat this team and like the stars align and the moon shines bright through the crevice, we could make the playoffs. Don't do it. Don't put yourself in sports purgatory hell. Right, just understand where you're at. And if you're a team that's got a bunch of talent and guys that are getting paid a bunch of money, ship them off. Send them away. Wow. Figure it out. If you're in a rebuild, understand where you are and now start shaping the narrative of, hey, we're in a rebuild. It's okay. We knew this was going to happen. Unlike Frank Reich with the Carolina Panthers, it's like, you know, some ownership is more involved.
How about
than,
that?
Then some not. They basically come out saying, like, I didn't want Bryce Love, Bryce Young. I like C.J. Stroud. But, you know, these ownership, like, that stuff's the stuff that's going to start causing these low-level teams to just start blowing up, like the fractioning of the team. Or do you just buy into the, like, yeah, we suck. We're terrible. They're going to try and rebuild and start building for 2024. So all those teams, you know, Arizona, Vikings, Carolina, who else? The Bears. I'm looking at the
Broncos,
boo. Giants. Like, there's enough teams that are down there that have really good talent that they have to make a decision. Like, do we hold on to this or do we start building for next year and kind of figure it out? Because the worst thing you can do, I mean, do you guys watch Bustin' with the Boys or do you guys follow?
Yeah.
Follow Portnoy. He made a great point about the Patriots. He's like, listen, we were at the pinnacle. We were at the top. He's like, I'd rather be dead last and be the worst team so that we can rebuild to be in the middle of the pack. And all these teams that are 1-4 and hold on to this hope and this dream that we're going to somehow make it, end up going 8-7, like 8-9 or whatever, and just be in the middle of the pack. Then you're picking mid-first round, mid-second round. Like, you're not getting the high-end players. So I think it's a critical point for a lot of these teams to make a decision about their future.
How quickly we go from, like, locker room Jeremiah Searles and NFL player in the trenches Jeremiah Searles to, like, 30,000-foot front office Jay here.
Whoa.
This is, like, slick-back executive Jay who's speaking on the podcast right now.
Let's be fair, though, because, Mackie, you and I just talked about this yesterday on Purple Daily, was – while you may call it a rebuild, it's still not being talked about in the rooms. Like, we're not in there like, guys,
yeah,
you can give up. You don't have to get the blocks, right? Like, the front office is basically like, yeah, we're going to live in – we're okay with them losing these games as long as they're taking steps forward, as long as they're getting better, as long as we see growth within the rooms. We're okay with this. Like, we expected this. It's almost like if you draft a rookie quarterback and he starts and you don't expect that, you're an idiot. Do you really think that these kids are going to jump from college to the pros? You realize you're going against the masters of the masters, and they run so fast, and they can cut so fast, and they can think, and they're so dynamic. And you think that these kids are just going to come up and be able to throw it in these tiny little windows that they didn't even have to throw to in college. Like, in college, everything's just so big and spread out. You're like, this is not even real anymore. But at the same time, my mic was going to be the Jets.
Hold on.
You know why?
Hold on.
Hold on, dude. What? Hold on. Hold on, because you
Phil gets a rebuttal here to my mic.
No, but because Boone, you brought up our conversation, and the Jets actually tie into something I'm going to say here about this, about the tanking. We've banned the word tanking on Purple Daily.
It's
about optimistically looking toward the future health of your roster. That's the way I would frame it.
100%.
Not tanking, right?
Which is fair.
But here's my question. Let's use the Vikings as an example, because the Vikings are probably the most obvious team where, like, you could do mental gymnastics.
If you say Vikings, you have to hit it. No, that's a rule from now on. If you bring up the Vikings as a homer team here, you have to hit the Galar Horn.
That's fair. That's fair enough. But, like, if you're the Vikings, it's the most obvious case of, well, if you do some mental gymnastics and, you know, look at the schedule coming up and this and that. Now, Jefferson's hamstring injury helps make the path more clear. But let's say over the next 3 weeks, trade deadline coming up on Halloween, the Vikings decide Danielle Hunter's a free agent at the end of the season. Boy, the Jaguars wanted him a few months ago in the offseason. The Jaguars might be one piece away from really taking the next step, go get a second-round pick for Danielle or whatever. And maybe we could even tell Kirk, hey, man, we're not going to re-sign you. is there some way you'd want to go play for the Jets or the Falcons or whatever it is? How do you then turn around? And maybe, I mean, you guys speak from like a player perspective
here.
How do you go in the locker room? I'm Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the Vikings general manager. I just traded Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter. And I have to go talk to Kevin O'Connell and 53 guys in the locker room and coaches and say, all right, so we got 2.5 months left in the season here. We just shipped out a Pro Bowl quarterback and one of the best defensive ends in franchise history, but we're still totally trying to win games.
Yeah.
How does that go over?
Deal with it. That's exactly what they say. Hey, you guys aren't stupid. You read the news. You know what's going on. We got rid of a player. Deal with it. We're going to see who's ready to step up. There was a situation kind of like that. We didn't have a guy get traded, but we had a guy get hurt. And the team was basically like, we want to see what the future looks like. We could play this guy, but we're going to start this guy instead. Deal with it. Figure it out. Help him see the path. If anything, we're going to rely a lot more on you guys to help him get through this. And you're like, that's why I keep saying, you can say whatever you want.
Was that the Sean Hill situation?
No, I'm not going to say where it was, but I'm just going to say that there was times where the upstairs will come down and blatantly to your face be like, yeah, we're not stupid. We know the situation. We're looking at the future now. And now it's on you to make this right for us. And it's one of those things where you're like, okay, fine. We're going to go out and continue to fight. We might not win the game. We might not be as upset that we didn't win the game. But at the end of the day, we're going to go out and fight as hard as we can to win the game. Like, we're not out there to miss blocks. We're not out there to get the quarterback hurt. That's not our job. And at the same time, when you are in a rebuild and they're like, hey, don't you guys kind of want to see what next year could look like with this guy? And we were like, yeah, that'd be fun. Let's do it. Like, we weren't against it, but at the same time, we were like, but there's another guy here who could possibly, because at the time we were still in the running for the playoffs. And we were like, this is a bold, risky move. And it kind of, I'm not going to say that it dropped us out, but, you know, the team played, we didn't play well. And so we didn't end up making the playoffs. But it's one of those things where you're like, hey, this is the situation. I'm a pro. This is my job, is to come in here and do my goddamn job. And if I don't, it's going to cost somebody their job. So it's, you're going out and fighting and you know the situation, and maybe you lose and you're like, hey, we went out and we fought hard. We did everything we could. We game planned well. We just didn't win the game. We're going to fight. We're going to continue to fight.
It also comes back to any player that's sitting in that locker room and a guy comes in and is like, yeah, we shipped. And then they're all, oh, it's like, listen, is our goal every year to make the playoffs or to win a world championship?
Right.
Like, is our goal to sit here and be like, hey, we could scratch out a 9-win season, a 10-win season, and backdoor our way into the wild card? Or are we looking to go, hey, we're going to win 13 games and go win the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. Right. And everyone's going to get on board with that. And no player is going to sit in that room and go, man, yeah, we should have done this. Like, the whole goal is to win a Super Bowl. And so if you come into it with that perspective, there's not a player that's not going to get on board. Now, I think it more goes to the coaches, right? If the GM and the front office make these decisions, the coaches are the one that are sitting there going, shit, dude, I don't want a six win record on my resume. Right. It's why you hear KOC and those guys like, I believe in this team. Do you hear me? Do you hear me up there, Wills? I believe in this team. Right. Like, and that's what a lot of these coaches are doing, because at the end of the day, the NFL is a CYA league. You cover your own ass. Like, everyone's out to save themselves. Right. But if you're a young player and you have the guys come and say, hey, we just got rid of this player, that player, it's a great opportunity for you. Right. And it's not all bad. Yeah. Team wise, you might be like, hey, this is my opportunity to go out and show what I can do and help maybe say, hey, I know we got a second round pick for an edge rusher, but I'm going to show them they don't need to use that second round pick on an edge rusher because I'm the guy. Right. There's great opportunities that come into these things, too, from a professional standpoint on an individual level. But you got to understand, the ultimate goal is never just to make the playoffs. The ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl title. That's the end of that's their goal. And they step in that first meeting of OTAs. So if we have to make some changes to get ourselves to that level, most players will get on board with that.
Yeah. We're just replacing the word tank with opportunity. It's not tanking. It's an opportunity. Booney, who's the mic? Who's the mic for you this week?
I told you, the Jets, Nathaniel Hackett. Did you see them going crazy on the sideline? Like, he had face paint all over him. They were making a huge scene about it. And then did you hear what Robert Saleh said to him? Stay humble. like, what an amazing quote to shake hands and be like, stay humble. And then just totally walked away. I was like, God, this is one of the greatest things about the NFL, is that you can actually just go out there and talk shit to each other and nobody can do anything about it. Like, it's so fun. It is.
Did
so
you
fun.
Hear after the game too? So Sean Payton gets up at the podium and your guy, former Vikings beat writer, I'll
the
hit
best.
The horn here.
Crushing him.
Chris Thomason, after he was the one that asked the question that, you know, what's the question a couple weeks ago? And Thomason
gets up
there.
I'm just telling
there,
you. I'm just like, telling you.
You know, I just going back to the things you said before the season. You know, do you feel any remorse or regret? Do you feel? And Sean Payton's like, I'm gonna murder someone. Dude,
Thomason's gonna go missing. Like he's gonna all of a sudden they're gonna be like, where's the Mickey Mouse shirt and the New Balance guy? Where's that guy?
I'm just reading through the quote again. You said it was the worst coaching job in the history of the National Football League. Right. You just lost to their backup quarterback. Do you have any more thoughts?
Hey, I'm telling you, we dealt with that every Tuesday. It was like, God, there he is. And he would just in your face. So just random question and just throw it right in your face. Like, hey. Answer this. Stupid.
Do you feel like you're a bad father because you're never home during the week, during the season?
Dude, it's comical, but like at the same time, I respect it because he's just like wherever he goes, he is who he is. Like,
he is.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he's in my phone as Chris Thomason, do not answer, but yeah. I mean, that's fine.
We need to get him on the show now. Just come on. Let us ask you invasive questions, Chris. Flip it around. But are you like the Jets are a great example of it? It feels to me like an outsider. There are some teams that might unravel, you know, after the Rodgers injury. Robert Saleh seems to have those guys together. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but it feels like they haven't lost sight of, okay, we can still do some stuff here.
Yeah. And I think if anything, they're one of the teams that's like, hey, we know how to come out and fight every week. We know how to come out and give our best performance. And at the same time, we know we don't have our starting quarterback because if we did, we'd be peeing the piss out of all of you. So. Yeah.
I love that they got Breece Hall more involved, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's a guy that's been begging for the ball, and you want a guy that's, if he's going to beg for the ball, you better show out and shut up. And he did it. I mean, 177 yards rushing last week. He had a couple of the big runs. He's a big factor in the passing game, too, on first and second down. You know, getting him more involved in this offense and finding ways to get the ball into Garrett Wilson's hands and just your playmakers and take some pressure off of Wilson is going to be huge for them down the stretch.
Yeah.
All right, my mic. Who's my mic this week? It's Mike Shanahan for his wonderful, wonderful reproductive organs, spawning the glorious NFL coach that is Kyle Shanahan. Dude, the San Francisco 49ers, I looked this up right before the show. Since the beginning of last season, I know stats are stupid, but 12 wins of 3 touchdown margin or more since the beginning of last season. 4 of them in the first 5 weeks so far this year. Unstoppable force. And yeah. Dallas came in, right? All right, we learned our lesson last year. You know, Dak Prescott said, you're not going to see me throw a bunch of interceptions this time around. And then you fast forward to the end of the game, and he's literally calling it the most humbling experience of his professional and football life. Brock Purdy, on the other hand, he leads the NFL in QBR and passer rating, and the Niners are now 10-0 in the regular season when Brock Purdy starts. Dude. Who's beating this team?
Well, that was going to be my second mic was Brock Purdy, you know, because I'm sick and tired of the broadcast teams every time you do a San Fran game, like belittling him, right? Like if this was Patrick Mahomes running the Kansas City or the San Francisco offense right now, it would be a hands down, no doubt about it. This dude's an MVP caliber. This is the MVP of the league. Look at what he's doing. But everyone keeps going back to like, well, anyone could do this. This is anyone. Look at this guy. Anyone could play this offense. Anyone could do this. Anyone could do that. It's like, we've been through this song and dance. Trey Lance couldn't do it. Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do it. Sam Darnold, like, had the opportunity in training camp. He couldn't do it. Like, we need to stop belittling the fact that Mr. Irrelevant was a seventh-round pick and he's only making $890,000 this year. And this and act like this dude's a stopgap. This dude is performing at an all-pro MVP caliber level, regardless if he's throwing to the best receivers, handing it off to the best running back. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do, and I'm sick and tired of hearing every single major broadcast that puts him on or every single talking head is not giving Brock Purdy the respect that he deserves. He deserves to be in the caliber and be in the mention for MVP because no one in the National Football League, and hear me when I say this, no other quarterback, in my opinion, is playing at the level of which Brock Purdy is playing at right now.
Yeah.
Agreed. 100%. Well, we joke, and I think the problem is we joke too much about how that job is so easy because you just dangle the ball out there and just throw it to someone simple, but it's not easy. I saw him throw up. There was a play action, and he threw it like 25 yards down the middle of the field, and it was a dart to Debo as everyone's running these clear outs. And then all of a sudden, it's a lot of everything. They're just playing incredible. But I agree with you. I'm sick of hearing it too. Like at some point, I think everyone's trying to say this just for when he falls. They're like, oh, there it is. And it's like, dude, at some point you have to give this kid his due and be like, this kid's incredible. He goes out there and commands one of the toughest offenses, the shifts, the motions. You have to know all your reads. You have to know everything. And yeah, at times it might be as simple as George Kittle. But throwing that ball and standing back there like he is super hard. And I think he's doing a phenomenal job of it. And I think a lot of it comes from that defense too, though, dude. Like, when you can rely on that defense, and Jay, you know how it is. When you have a dominant defense, you're almost like, guys, let's just go out here and do whatever the hell we want to do. Let's just go out and draw it up in the sand. Let's have some fun. And you get guys like Kittle and Debo out there going crazy. Dude, it's got to be that huddle. I would do anything to be a guard in that huddle. Could you imagine the fun they have out there just laughing at people? Like, I think these idiots are going to stop this. I don't think so. Hey, hey, we're talking about you, stupid. Love it.
But you guys, like, you kind of nailed it with we go too far with narratives in football in 2024. It's on one hand, Kyle Shanahan is a brilliant offensive coach, a brilliant head coach, and a brilliant schemer. But then another thing can be true. Brock Purdy is super talented and a really good leader and a pretty dynamic quarterback considering he was a seventh-round pick. It's always got to be, well, because Kyle Shanahan is brilliant, right, we have to discredit any quarterback that comes in and plays in that system, right? It can be both. Bill Belichick was brilliant for 20 years, 30 years, and Tom Brady was brilliant, and then you put those guys together and boom, you win championships, and that kind of looks like what might be happening with
even
the 49ers.
Look at Matt LaFleur. Everyone was like, oh, this dude got the Packers back. He's everything. Look how genius he's done. And then you take out your Hall of Fame quarterback, put in Jordan Love, and it's like, oh, it's not the same, right? You can be a great schemer, but you have to have the dudes that can go out and execute what you scheme. And I don't care what you say, I don't think anyone else is going to be able to do what Brock Purdy's doing. His anticipation of throwing guys open is fantastic. If you watch the All-22, he's throwing it before guys are out of breaks. He's anticipating windows. Like, he's looking dudes off. Like, he is playing elite football right now, and I just hate the credit he's not getting.
Yeah, amen, dude. Amen. There it is. Who's the mic? It's the segment that's taking the football podcast world by storm here the last 2 weeks. Mike, let's rearrange segments here. Let's make our picks right now, and then we'll get to some dumb football questions from the audience. All right?
Let's do it.
I'm not ready
let's
for this. God.
Okay. You should be ready, dude. Let's start with the standings from last week, because you, Alex Boone, went 3-1 last week. Great. A nice week for you to get to 13-7 on the season. I went 3-1 last week. I'm at 14-6 on the season. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Yes, and the casual Jeremiah went 2-2 last week. He's 10-10 on the season so far. So 14-6, 13-7 for Booney, and 10-10 for our guy Jeremiah.
Which game did I guess wrong? Which one did I screw up?
I cleaned the slate here. Yeah. You picked the Texans over the Falcons. So that's where we're at here, and we pick four games each week that are of interest straight up, because Jeremiah, spreads are for
losers.
Yeah. Damn right they are.
We pick winners, straight up winners or losers on the show here. So I got four games for you guys. We'll start with Seahawks at Bengals.
I'm going to take the Bengals in this. I'm going to take the Bengals. I think they found something last week. They got back on track. I'm actually going to be at this game. I'm going to this game this weekend to watch Cornell play. So super excited. But, you know, they found a way to get Jamar Chase the ball. I think with T. Higgins being out, Burrow's just looking at Jamar Chase, right? And I think this week you'll see Tyler Boyd probably pick up a little bit more. And they got the running game going a little bit with Joe Mixon. I like the Bengals at home. Joe Burrow looks a little bit more mobile. Looks like he's getting back to himself, being able to create, move. He had the 360 no-scope pass this week. You know, so I like the Bengals. I think they're going to get themselves back on track.
I agree. I think the Bengals at home, I think Joe looked a lot better. Moving around the pocket, running around, looked a lot more like himself. I like the Bengals.
All right, I'm torn between forces here. Force number one, do I want to just pick the same team as you guys? Force number two, I think the Bengals at the end of the season are going to be right in the mix as a contender, and this is kind of the beginning of them getting there starting last week. But force number three is I feel like people don't give the Seahawks nearly enough credit going back to the beginning of last year, because Geno Smith's their quarterback. They don't have a ton of household names on defense anymore. They're just kind of this team that people don't know what to do with. Oh, they overachieved last year. They've been so much better since that trade than the Broncos and Russell Wilson. And by almost any measurement, they're one of the top 10 teams in the NFL dating back to like the first quarter of last season, I think the Seahawks go on the road and pull a little upset here against the Bengals. The Seahawks are a team that everybody sleeps on. I've got the upset, Seahawks over Bengals.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see, Mac. We'll see.
Let's go Cowboys coming off an absolute ass beating against the Chargers in Los Angeles.
I know, right? All right. Dude. I'll go first.
Go, Boone. You go first.
I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one.
Wow.
I think the Cowboys last week getting it handed to them, it's going to be tough to come back from. And I just think that's one of those things where – and I think that Micah Parsons – talking all that shit afterwards, like, oh, no, you made it personal. And Debo was like, wait a minute, I thought it already was personal. Weren't we playing for reals out there?
Yeah,
like,
it was personal to us. That's why we beat them 42 to 10.
You? I'm confused. Wait, what? It's one of those things where I'm not sure the Cowboys really are going to be trusting that much in their offense anymore either. It's one of those things where, dude, Mike McCarthy is, I think when you go down there, we were all expecting different results. And Dak Prescott, different results. And we're just not getting them. And I don't see it coming back this week. I'm sorry. I think the Chargers and Khalil Mack coming off, what is that, last week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks ago. They had the bye week. Chargers had the bye week this week.
Coming off six sacks. I mean, come on, man. They're going to be lit up, torched up, ready to roll. They're going to be putting pressure on Dak. I like the Chargers.
See, I want to pick the Chargers too, but, you know, the Chargers find a way to charger. Right, they just do. Like,
so do the Cowboys.
I mean, but I think the Cowboys from a roster perspective is better than the Chargers, you know. And I think that a humbling experience like that, coming off understanding that this is kind of a must win, and you know that offensive line, in my opinion, that offensive line wasn't the true reason why the Giants or the Cowboys lost that game. You know, Dak had time to throw at times if they weren't pressuring him, and you talk about one of the better offensive lines. I like the Cowboys to come into this game. I think the Cowboys win this game on the backs of their defense. Herbert has the broken thumb, right? He's still messing with that thumb on his non-throwing. Austin Eckler might be back, but, I mean, Mike Williams has an ACL. He's out for the year. It's going to be a really good football game, but at the end of the day, Staley just is not a great coach at the end of the games. I think I got to give the nod to the Cowboys here.
You don't love going for fourth down every time, dude? You're
on your own 30? On your own 30 when you're only down by a touchdown? Sure.
Never punt.
How do you know upstairs they're not like, yeah, bro, rebuild. We want to see more plays on offense. More plays on offense.
Just keep going. Because
you just paid your quarterback $250 million.
Hey, we're paying him to be out there. Get his ass out there. Play him on defense.
This is such a tough one. I think I side with Jeremiah on this one. And one of my reasons is the Cowboys under Mike McCarthy, they've only lost back-to-back games one time in the 3 years of him being a head coach. So they do generally tend to bounce back after bad losses. And this is one of those losses where it probably wakes you up a little bit at practice. You probably come to practice on Wednesday and you're embarrassed. And the Chargers are a great opponent to maybe take that out on. And it's not the best home field advantage either in that stadium for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. So I got the Cowboys getting it right, at least for one more week. And now we go to the Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels showdown in Las Vegas.
Oh, boy.
You want to call it a showdown? The Patriots at the Raiders.
You go first, Maggie. Your turn.
I don't have a coin to flip here. Otherwise.
All right, here. You want me to go?
No, Maggie goes first.
No, I'll go we first.
Rotate.
I'll go first.
We rotate.
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. I think the Raiders win this game because I think the Patriots are so bleeped on every level. I mean, Bill Belichick literally talking about starting over multiple times in that post-game press conference after just another embarrassing loss. Maybe the two most embarrassing losses of his entire head coaching career in back-to-back weeks. The Raiders are probably one of the opponents you would choose to get right against, but I just don't think the Patriots are good enough. I don't think they don't have any talent on offense, at least on the edges with wide receivers and tight ends. And Mac Jones is just a guy. So give me the Raiders.
I'm with you. I'm with the Raiders too. I think Max Crosby has another big day.
Just going to say that.
He is playing unreal football right now. I mean, he is as much of a game wrecker as Aaron Donald, Micah Parsons. Like, you can put him up there with those dudes right now. He's playing great. Great football for them. And you look on offensively what New England is you can't win if you can't score. I mean, you just can't in this league. And as much as the the Raiders are having issues scoring. I mean, they have so many more weapons between Jacobs and, you know, Foster Moreau started coming to his own a little bit as a tight end last week. And you got Davante Adams on the outside. They have too many weapons. They're going to score at least 17, in my opinion. And I don't know if the Patriots are capable of scoring that many points right now with what they have. And even that source that came out next to Mac Jones was like, even how good of a cook you are, you can't make trash taste good. Like, there's some division going on in that locker room right now, yeah. And it's a mess. I mean, and when you have that many distractions going on, it's hard to win in this football league, regardless if you're Bill Belichick or not. So give me the Raiders.
Hey, I'm sure the answer to this is very low, but has Bill Belichick ever lost three games in a row?
Boy. See, this is what I was thinking about, too, and why I almost went Patriots.
I know, I agree with you. There was a time... This is going to be the first time ever, for sure.
You know, for 15 plus 20 years, if the Patriots got their asses kicked and we were doing this segment, you would never fade the Patriots the next week, right?
Never.
You would take them the next week.
This is a crazy pick, but all three of us are going to say that Bill Belichick's going to get his third loss in a row. And, dude, for years, if you would have they lost next week, you were like, Tom's definitely bringing them back. Like,
yeah.
I will bet my house on it that they are going to win this game. But now you're like, this is the first time ever, three in a row, dude. It's going to be insane to watch. But, yeah, I could it come against a better opponent? I mean, technically your protege. I don't know.
Yeah, Garoppolo too. Like, there's a whole lot of Belichick.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's two bad football teams.
Pretty much.
Like, I mean, that's what it is. At the end of the day,
at least we're in Vegas.
And anything can happen when two bad football teams meet. It's pretty much whoever wants to lose the game worse is going to lose the game, right? Like, I think we'll see multiple turnovers in this game. Like, you might see something crazy, like a punt return or a kick blocked or something stupid
fake
like
punt
that.
Goes for a touchdown.
Yeah, like that's sure. The kind of stuff that happens in these terrible games.
Yes.
Speaking of two bad football teams. This is probably the last time that I can give you guys the Vikings in our pick segment because they are no longer relevant. So we're going to go Vikings on the way down the hill. Bears may make look a little bit better lately. Gosh. Vikings at Bears. No Justin Jefferson for the Vikings.
So I'm going to go with the Bears, and here's why. Number one, it's at the Bears, right?
Yes.
Vikings never play
well in Soldier Field.
I know from
I think they've won a couple
experience.
In a row. But yeah.
I know for what? Half a game because the other half was completely blacked out. I know from being told we just don't play well in Soldier Field. Oh, and by the way, Dick Butkus, they're going to be talking about him all day. Everyone's going to be super going crazy. I'm sorry. I have to go with the Bears.
I'm going Bears too. You know, DJ Moore had his coming out party last week as being a rocket ship on the edge there. Justin Fields is finding him. He's looking a little better. But, like, no Jefferson in this offense.
Oof.
We've never seen it. We've never seen it. Since Jefferson has stepped foot in that building, we have never seen what this offense looks like without Justin Jefferson. And from what I've seen from KJ Osborne, from TJ Hawkinson, I don't think anyone, even Addison is a young player, he's going to be great. But I don't think anyone's ready to step in and fill that role. And forever and always, if you were playing against the Vikings, you always had this tiny bit of scare if you blitzed Kirk Cousins that 18 could blow the top off of your defense.
Right.
We're not going to see that. We're not going to see it. I think defenses are going to be able to bracket coverage certain guys. They're going to be able to pick their poison on tendencies versus the downs. I just don't see the Vikings being super successful on offense in this game.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm picking the Vikings.
Of course.
My God, here's a guy. Here's a guy.
But here's my thought, all right? Their season's cooked, and everything that Jeremiah said off the top of the show, I think this would be a great time starting in the next couple weeks. Go get some draft capital. Go find your quarterback of the future in the draft next year and get that process started. I think there's a rallying effect in the first week post-Justin Jefferson. I think there's still some life in the building. I don't think Kevin O'Connell has lost the team. So I think this is like the Undertaker sits up one last time. They beat the Bears in some sloppy game. They probably run. My guess is Cam Akers gets a bunch of carries because Madison dropped a pass last week. And then they're feeling pretty good. All right, we got our second win of the season. Then reality hits because then it's the Niners. Then it's a short week after playing the Niners against the Packers at Lambeau. Then another road game Falcons. So I think they win this game and then go on a losing streak that leads to them selling off pieces at the trade deadline on Halloween. So call me a homer, if you will.
Homer.
Soldier Field's tough to play in.
Why is that stadium
It's so much different. It's just, it's a weird place to play. The grass is always ankle high. Like, it's just strange. It's like, I don't know. The Vikings don't fare well there. I mean, we barely won both years that I played there in 16 and 17.
It does feel like you're trudging through a jungle. Like, you got your, like, your wading boots on. You're like, there goes Peterson. Like,
it's like Stanford, dude. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's the picks. Four games of note. We'll see if Jeremiah can mount a comeback here. Alex in second place, and the master of football knowledge, Phil Mackey.
I can't let you win this. I can't.
Yeah. We'll see. You and I are differing on quite a few of these. I think we only match on one of these this week. So
this is going to be interesting to see what happens. This is one of us is going in a swing.
Yeah, let's go. All right, it's time for some dumb football questions, boys, where the audience submits. This is a safe space for the audience to submit whatever dumb football questions you have on your mind, and two former NFL players answer those questions. By the way, if you haven't already, you can help us. We're almost to 10,000 YouTube subscribers, so thank you. That's awesome. Click that subscribe button and the like button. And then on the audio side, we just had a record number of people listen to the last episode for us.
Let's go.
Apple and Spotify, where we post the full version of the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a positive review so we can keep growing this offensive line lifestyle community.
We appreciate
led by
all
these
of you
guys. Yes. Yeah, it's been a blast here. I don't think we didn't really have like numbers expectations, but 10,000 in the first like month of the football season, it's pretty awesome.
I mean, yeah, our goal is to have 5,000 by the start of the season, right? Like we were like, maybe we can reach 10 by the end of the year. Who knows? I don't know. No one
50.
Knows.
Where... Let's get to 50. Yeah. Come on,
let's
you guys.
To 50.
Let's do it. To the moon, boys. To the moon.
All right, some dumb football questions here. You know what? I'm going to start. I was going to bury this one a little bit, but you guys brought this up before we cracked the microphone, so I'm just going to ask this one here. This dumb football question comes from that guy on Twitter. How do you deal with bowel movements during games? With all the running and hitting, you'd think there would be some embarrassing moments in football.
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, first of all, you always got to take the pregame number two. Like that is a sacred ritual time. Like you take, I mean, and the worst thing is if you're like, you're trying to build it up pregame because you're like, you're just, I want to get it all out. So you're holding it. But like if you get dressed first and then you have to take the number two, Nightmare situation.
Are you talking at the stadium?
Oh yeah, I'm talking like
your pads on.
Like if you have pads, I'm talking like your pregame poop needs to be before the 90-minute clock starts.
How many stalls are in a like a road locker room or a home locker room?
Like six. Well, it depends. It depends. Some of them have like one. Some of them have six.
So Purdue. I'll never forget this. Purdue's away locker room for college had two stalls. No doors, and they faced each other. I swear to God.
Not kidding.
I swear to God. No curtains, nothing. You're eye to eye with your buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Like, right? Like, I mean, it is. I promise you. There is
swear
no. You face each other, right? So, like, yeah.
That's what we call a true Boilermaker right there.
That's 100%. But, like, yeah, so you got to get that thing out before the 90-minute clock because when you start going and you get padded up and you've got lobster claws for hands,
right.
Like
you got these all taped up,
wiping's an adventure, man. And you got full braces on, so you're like you're not real mobile. Like it's an adventure.
And you can't ask one of the equipment guys to help you out, probably.
No,
right?
You're not taking your pads off once they come out.
I can't be like my 4-year-old and be like, done pooping, done pooping. Like it doesn't work like that. Yeah. So yeah, you got to get that done. But I do have a funny story. I played with a receiver in Nebraska.
No names.
Okay.
It's up to you.
No, he's told the story on live before, so I won't say it. But we had a receiver. We were playing Michigan in 2012, I think. And he had the flu the night before, so he was already kind of messed up. He runs this deep post route, catches it down on like the 5-yard line. Stadium's packed, night game, national TV. And he takes a smack from the safety and lays there. And I come sprinting down the field to help him up. Like, dude, great job, great catch. He goes, don't touch me. I was like, what's wrong? He goes, get the train staff. And so, like, I'm waving, like, oh, dude, he's hurt. He comes waving over, and, like, they end up having to, like, pick him up and, like, carry him off. And he goes running back into the locker room. We're like, man, Kenny's hurt. Oh, said his name. And then he comes running back out, like, 10 minutes later. And we're like, you all right? He goes, poop my pants. We're like, what? He goes, dude, that safety hit me and it just out the back. And he said, like, when the trainers got out there and they're like, what's wrong? And they go, I need you to roll me over and tell me if there's anything coming down my leg or not. And if there is, you have to get the cart. And lucky enough, there was nothing. Like, he had tights on, so, like, there was nothing going through. And so, like, he ended up going through. But, yeah, it happened.
And you guys had the whites, the Nebraska
pants.
Oh,
yeah, we had the white pants on. Luckily nothing bled through. But, yeah, old boy pooped himself on the five-yard line during a game, national
Kenny.
TV.
Come on, Kenny.
Old KB, baby.
Guy. Dude, the worst is, did you ever feel like you always had to take a piss? Like, no matter what, you always have to pee. Like, the minute you're on the sideline,
well, before they had the tents, before they had, like, the, because now you just pop yourself into that tent, and they actually have these things. Easy. They actually have these things now that you, like, it's a bag that you pee into, and it's, like, filled with the stuff that's in diapers. Right, so it just expands, and you just throw it in the trash. But before then, like, you had to find the old box equipment thing that opened up that had all the helmets in it, and you'd act like you were, like, tying your shoe or something. You'd just be pissing in a Gatorade bottle, like, right there on the sideline.
Oh, my god!
Because you don't have time to be like, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to run
into
the locker
room. Guys, turn around. Everybody,
I'll be right back because, like, you need a quick change or something like that. Like, you can't be like, hey, where's Boone? Oh, I think he's taking a piss. You just right there on the sideline, you take a knee, pretend you're tying your shoe or something, and just pee right in a bottle.
I feel like, and I don't know, it's like, if I ever get nervous, just not even as a football player, my bladder starts to churn. And there's got to be, you're hyped up, you're maybe a little nervous,
all
excited, and you're it probably churns faster, right?
Every time I would go before this, like, the kickoff coming to us or, like, a punt, I would, I got to pee so bad. I got to pee so bad. The minute you run out on the field, you're like, pee? I don't have to fucking pee. What? Yeah. No, yeah. I'm good.
Who was, Boone, was it with someone with us that used to piss themselves during training camp? I can't remember if that was with you or not. I had a buddy. He was a former teammate. Like, it used to be in the dog days of camp, and he would just pee himself. And we'd be like, are you pissing right now? And he'd be like, I'm soaked anyways. Who cares? Like, in the middle of practice, he would just pee himself.
I think I know who you're talking about. Did he also do something for money?
Yeah. 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 Okay. It was us. It was someone on the.
I know exactly who you're talking
about. He would just pee himself in the middle of training camp practice.
And I remember
that.
Was
he a center or no? Because if I'm a quarterback, I'm going to want to know what's wet down there. A little sweat I can deal with.
No, yeah.
That was the Mark Schlereth thing. Was it Mark Schlereth, like, during a game, would just to scare the defense? Yeah, that's right. I'm taking a piss right now. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. If somebody would start taking a piss across from me, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck's wrong with this guy?
I mean, I've thrown up mid-drive and, like, mid-practice, like, in a three-point stance. You're just like, blah, and then you just go, like, but I've never pissed myself in the middle of the game.
Never.
All right, question number two from AAGAA in the YouTube comment section. Are trap games a real thing?
Yes, absolutely they are. They are, and it's almost like the coaches see it coming. We've talked about this before. Sometimes when you're in the moment, you can't see it. You're like, no, we're good. We're good. And the coaches are like, but I just see that we're lacking in these key areas, like ball security, or we're not taking this seriously. We're not watching enough blitz tape. We're not doing – and the minute you get out in the game, you're like, fuck, they were right. Yeah. Son of a bitch. God. And then you're quickly trying to regroup everybody, like, hey, we gotta refocus, okay? Everybody – and it's too late. I mean, sometimes – and a lot of them happen after, like Jay says – big emotional wins. You feel like you've conquered the world. You're like, we did it. Like the Jaguars this week beating the Bills. We did it. We beat this team that went out there and beat Miami the week before. Like it's all these. And then all of a sudden it's like you come back and we're good. We're going to be fine. Look what we just did to a great team. And then all of a sudden you're playing some lesser team who's got it in their minds that they need to come out and punch you in the mouth, like Jay said, because their coaches believe that the 0.01% chance of them getting in is worth it. So they're you fall into this all the time. And a lot of times it's towards the middle of the season, not so much at the end of the year, because that's when coaches just grab you by the face mask and they're like, hey, I'm not fucking around anymore. Okay, get your shit together. I'm going to bench your ass. You're like, got it, Roger, not messing around anymore, right? Like, they know how to do that. But in the middle of the season, when you beat these big teams and you're like, we're crushing, nobody can stop us. And then all of a sudden you show up and, you know, Houston just punches you right in the mouth and you're like, what the hell just happened to us? And these guys that you maybe took a little lightly, or he's a young player, he's not going to do anything against us. Look what I just did against Aaron Donald. You know, it's you fall into this rhythm of I'm too good for this. And then all of a sudden somebody humbles you quickly.
Yeah. And the NFL's too good from top to bottom, from the worst team to the best team. Anyone can beat anyone on any given Sunday.
Right.
Like, and so if you are the more talented team, but you come out there and you're just slightly flat and that other team gets some life and momentum, they're not so bad that they're not going to be able to lose. Now, the Colts last year against the Vikings was one of those, like, epic collapses by a team. But that happens a lot in the NFL. I mean, the Bills have fallen victim to it twice now this year. you know, one with the Jets and then again with the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. Like, I think everyone anticipated after that Jets game, like, Bills are back, right? They go on a roll, they beat Miami, and then they go out there and you just look flat even a little bit and you let these teams hang around. Every team in the NFL has enough talent to beat you at the end of the game. And those trap games are really hard to get yourself ramped up mid-game to try and get yourself where you need to be, where you should have been all week. It's impossible to get there during on game day.
Yeah. Next question here, you kind of walked into the Jaguars-Bills part of this conversation. Nick Correa wants to know, what is your guys' opinion of the NFL attempting to expand into London? It looks like we're trying to put the Jaguars in London, it kind of feels like. Right? Like, for a while, it was like, the Jags, like, you're going to play in London once in a while. And then this year, it's like, why don't you stay there for about 3 weeks, and we'll just keep bringing you opponents. It'll be great.
For a while, it was floated that they wanted to do 8 home games in London and 8 away games over here. So they wanted to keep them over there, and it was floated around for a long time. I do not like that idea at all. You put people on a completely different continent, it's going to be so different. There, could you imagine having to play over there all the time and then having to raise kids over there, but then come over here for 8 weeks? And where are you going to train in the off season? Are you going to train over here? Are you going to train over there? Like, it would just be so complicated to do. And at the same time, when you go over there, you have to pay different taxes, and then you're paying taxes on top of that. So it's like, wait a minute, did I just get double taxed? And they're like, well, yeah, because technically, because you played in the UK, the US wants to tax you, but you have to pay this 10% UK tax as well.
You pledge to the monarchy now.
Whoa, time out. I got to pay to who now? And they're like, yeah, you're paying everybody. You're like, wait a minute, no, I'm not doing this.
Remember that chick you watched on Suits growing up? Yeah, you're paying to her now. Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle now owns you.
Hey, when you look at that bill, because they send you a draft of like what your taxes are going to look like for that week, you're reading through it, you're like, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm getting double taxed? Like, well, because technically you're not playing in the U.S. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't pay any tax then, right? And they're like, well, no, the U.S. is going to tax you and the U.K. is taxing you. And you're like, time out. Who wanted to play this game over here?
The time zone difference and you want to talk about player safety. Sending them overseas and trying to figure that out and getting yourself, regardless if you're like, oh, you can beat jet lag in a few days, like, yeah, for a normal person that wants to go around and take a peek at the monuments and eat tea and crumpets and fish and chips, but like, you're trying to get ready to go to war and battle against another team, it's just not safe. In my opinion, it's just not safe to do for players. It's not good for recovery to play a full football game. Be like, all right, boys, get on the plane for the next 8.5 hours. Like, it's just not a good idea. I don't like them at all.
When we were in Frisco, it was like a 14-hour flight.
Well, from Frisco, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I only ever went over there from Minnesota. I never went over there from anywhere else besides Minnesota. I think that was 8.5.
Dude, I mean, think about the, like you said, logistics of, you'd almost have to just create like a separate division or something. To have only one team would be logistically impossible. Even having a division of like 4 teams.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I saw some of them like, yeah, we're trying to expand to like Australia. And it's like, what? Why? They can watch it on TV like the rest of us. Like, you don't have to go to Australia.
They already have their own league. It's called Australian football, right? Yeah,
I get it. The money drives everything. Everyone knows at the end of the day, the checkbook speaks and everyone else can pound sand. So like, we have no say, but I think the PA needs to take a stand on it and say, this can't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, I'm trying to think of if you went more like north-south, but they've already kind of tapped all the big, like Toronto and Buffalo are kind of a market, right? Vancouver and Seattle are kind of a market. If you go further south, like, it'd make more sense to put a team in Mexico City than it would in London for travel purposes.
Don't you think there's enough teams? Like, I think it's perfectly situated right now. If anything, I mean...
Unless you're a billionaire looking to make more money, in which case you need more teams and an
NFL team in Mexico City is a terrible idea.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just thinking for time zone purposes and travel, it would be. No, there's probably other things that would be a problem in Mexico City. Like, you can't drink the water, for instance. I learned that the hard way one time in spring break. Boy, be careful with that water.
Do not. Yeah.
You just have to take a shot of tequila every morning. It kills everything. At least that's what I tell myself whenever I go down there for vacation. Start the day off with the Don Julio shot, boys. Nothing can kill you.
Eradicate everything. One more dumb football question here for this show from Gregory Jackson in the YouTube comment section. Why are there some offensive linemen that are good at playing most of the different line positions and others that can only really be good at one position? Like, why can one guy only play right guard while you have others that can play tackle, guard on either side of the football?
Boone, you're a guy that played just kind of a single. You start, and then I'll jump in. As a position flex guy, I'll talk about my experience.
Boone, why weren't you good enough to play anything but guard?
Right? No, maybe our opinions differ, but I think some guys come in the league as true positions, right? Like they get drafted as a left tackle. You are a left tackle forever. Like you're not asked to do anything else. But then there's guys that are drafted as like, you're going to be the swing tackle. So you need to learn both spots. And so then they learn both spots. They get it. But then as their career goes on, they start to go, hey, do you want to learn a little bit of guard? And all of a sudden these guys start to play guard and then they start moving around in scout teams. Unless you're really drafted to be a guy somewhere or you're put in a spot where you are the starter, because once you're the starter, they don't ask you to do any other position. Like every now and then as a guard, I would go in and play center as like the third string. So like a guy, say like week 8, they were like, hey, our center goes down. The backup center goes down. Who are we going to put in? Boom, you go to center. Like, the only time I ever played center. And I had naturally played tackle in my career so I could do it, but that was the only reason I could play both tackles, was because I had already done it in my career. But had I just gone in as a guard, I wouldn't have known how to play tackle, because that was never really, you know. And it's one of those things where if you are the starter, they're like, he has enough on his plate. Why would we want him to start learning other things? That's a lot. Now, you'll learn the position as you play your spot. You'll learn what the tackle does. But to learn how to play it is a completely different thing. Like, you have to take a ton of reps to understand the difference between a tackle and a guard and to master both what they are.
Yeah, and it also goes back to the fact of, you know, I tell guys all the time as I recruit them, like, unless you're like Boone says, unless you're the guy, the only way you stay on a roster is by being able to play multiple positions. Mm-hmm. Like, they only dress eight game day, right? So you have your starters, and you got to have a swing tackle, swing guard, and a backup center, right? And if you can't be a swing guy, you cannot dress. You cannot be active on game day, right? And so you have to be able to cross-train yourself to do that, and that makes you more valuable. But I tell guys, the more you can do, the longer you can stay, but the less you get paid. Like, that's just a nature of what the NFL is. If you want to just stay in the NFL, you have to be able to do multiple. And sometimes people think it's easy to flip sides. It's really not. It's really hot. And anytime someone tells me, like, well, you could just play right and left, right? I go, next time you go to the bathroom and you take a shit, wipe yourself with your other hand. And tell me how easy it is, right? Like, just tell me how easy it is to flip everything that your motor skills have been trained forever to do. Now, certain guys can do it and they can be better at it. Like, I made my career off of understanding what I was and what my role was. So I was like, I'm going to learn how to snap. I'm going to learn how to play both guards. I'm going to be able to play both tackles. And then the other thing is, every scout and everyone believes that you can always move in on the offensive line, right? If you play tackle, you can play guard. You can play center. Right? But it's never the other way around. You're never going to draft a guard. You're never going to draft a guard and be like, hey, you ever played tackle? You ever bumped out there? Like, it's just not a skill set that people are used to. You can always move in. You can't move out.
True story. When I became the starter, that's what they told me basically. I was like, hey, listen, we love you, but your feet are slow. So go play guard for us. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, I had no idea what was going on. Like, they were like, dude, you are a mauler. And it was interesting because when I was first the starter in Frisco, I was actually the swing tackle as well. So I had two backups. It was me, if the tackles went down, I got kicked over to one of the tackles and my backup would come in. And then after that, we had another guard who could come in and play guard if I was already moved to tackle, and he was also the center. So we only had 7 guys dress. And so it was one of those situations where it was like, hey, are you up to speed on everything? And I could do that because I played left tackle in Ohio State and then I played guard in the NFL. So they were like, hey, this is one of those different situations. And by the way, you're 6'8 and you're long. And that's another reason why you never see guards go to tackle. Yeah. They're just not physically equipped to do it.
I mean, you didn't have to dress 8 alignment until the new CBA. Yeah. The new CBA said, so like when I was in Minnesota, we dressed 7, right? And I was number 6. I call myself sixth man. I was the sixth man. Anyone that got hurt from left tackle over, I was going in. It just mattered if I was taking my glove off to snap the football or not, right? And that's a position that, yeah, you don't get paid very much because you're not the guy, but every team needs that guy on the offensive line that can come in and not have a drop-off, right? And that's a big, important piece of what development for young offensive linemen is, because you never know what you might be best at, right? Tyler Smith's a great example. Played left tackle at Tulsa, got drafted in the first round. They bumped him into guard because they have Tyrone Smith in Dallas. And, you know, his ability to go in and play guard now, he didn't probably know he could play guard at any level until he did it, right? So it's just part of growing and becoming a pro and becoming a player. But I will say this, the last thing I'll tell you about this is the ego that goes into some of these guys later in their careers too plays a role into why they say they can't play other sides, right? Like Taylor Lewan, I think some team wanted to bring him in and be like, we need you to play right tackle. He goes, nah, I'm a left tackle. Right, because that's what his legacy was, and that's who he is, and he doesn't want to switch over. Right, the Bengals, Jonah Jackson, they brought in Orlando Brown, like, hey, you're gonna play right tackle. He wasn't happy about it. He didn't want to do it, but he's going out there and doing it. But there is an ego that drives some of these guys later in their career. That's like, I am a left tackle, or I am a right tackle. You're not gonna put me out there in a position that makes me look stupid when I've had a really good career.
Yeah, but you could also make $10 million over the next 2 or 3 years by playing right tackle, as opposed to not getting signed, right?
Jay's right. They don't want to tarnish their legacy. I mean, you've been a left tackle your entire life. There's something to be said, probably more in our world than anything. Like, if they were like, yo, that dude only played left tackle. Like, he was just a badass. It's like the Joe Staley's or the Jason Peters. Those guys only played left tackle. Like, that's what they did. And that's why they were so great. And
I mean, imagine 2 years, Trent Williams, someone tries to take Trent Williams.
Trent, like, you want to go play right?
We're going to play you right, which is known as the second best position on the offensive line. No. I am a left tackle. Right, like there is an ego factor that goes into that with some guys.
Interesting. On the defensive side, I mean, there's like, once you age out at cornerback, maybe you play safety. And there's been some guys, Charles Woodson, other guys that, but they're probably, I guess I had never thought about the ego factor of, well, I've already made enough money and I value my legacy more than I value like two more paychecks for, you know,
but
a fraction of my net worth.
I think there's a class of guys that you would not even ask to move to the right side because they would be like, that just be disrespectful. Like, hey, we're gonna ask him to go to the right. Don't do that. Don't piss him off.
And there's a lot of guys that have played right their whole career that they sign big contracts elsewhere and they try and move them to left, and it doesn't work great. I mean, Tristan Wirfs is doing it this year, but he's taking some growing pains with it. Right, there's growing pains because left tackle and right tackle are drastically different in the type of werewolves that you face every single week.
Yeah. So there's your dumb football questions here on the O-Line Committee podcast. Keep sending us. We love stockpiling these things. And at first I was like, yeah, if we keep doing 3, 4, 5 of these a week, are we going to run out? No.
Never.
There's just never a bazillion left that we haven't even gotten to. So keep sending them. And again, click that subscribe button and the like button on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel, a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And go tell a football-loving friend about this new offensive line lifestyle podcast, the O-Line Committee. See you guys.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.